Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Bandwidth for Know-How is brought to you by CashFly.
This episode of Know-How is brought to you by WordPress. Reach more customers when you build your business website on WordPress.com. Plans start at just $4 a month and get 15% off any new plan at WordPress.com/know-how. Today on Know-How,
basic streaming part.
It's a Twitch show where we build, bend, break, and upgrade. I'm Father Robert Ballasair.
And I'm Jason Howell.
And for the next however many minutes it takes, we're going to open up your head with the can opener of knowledge so that we can pour in the soup of stuff.
The soup of justice. Knowing. No.
See, this is what happens when you try to make up metaphors at the beginning.
Yeah, don't make it up on the fly.
Don't do that. We're much better at talking about potential Oreo cookie flavors because you're running out.
I am. Yes, if you've got a suggestion for a potential Oreo flavor that we haven't already tried in All About Android, AAA@twit.tv, I'd appreciate it.
Yeah, he's been doing a different... You've actually been faithful to this. You've been doing a different flavor every week.
Yeah, ever since Oreo was announced to be the flavor, and I can't remember exactly when that was. Sometime at the end of last summer, I think, we found out that the version of Android was called Oreo, and every week we've tasted a new flavor. As you may or may not know, there are a lot of flavors of Oreo.
Some of which should not exist.
Edition, yes. If you go to twit.to/Oreo, Patrick DeLahanty here at Twit has been managing a doc that keeps up to date on all the Oreos that we've tasted up until now. So, you know, if you're, like, curious, you know you want to order Oreos and you don't know which flavor to try, it's a good reference.
You know, the funny thing is, even though some of those flavors have been absolutely disgusting, like the whole slap you across the face and say, what were you thinking? Burke will eat them all.
Yeah, he does.
He really will.
Well, I think we...
He's our Mikey.
You know, I think Burke probably shares our curiosity and will try everything. He tends to like a lot more than what I like.
No, I've actually had Burke come up to me with the pack of Oreos from AAA, and he'll be like, man, these are disgusting, Padre. You should try them. Like, stop eating them!
I didn't want to buy dinner. What?
Oh, but folks, we're not here just to talk about Oreos. We do have it at the top of the show because, we're going to be bringing some Android stuff towards the end, but... We specifically wanted to give him a second part of the basic streaming episode. Now, I did the last one with Megan. Mm-hmm. The whole idea was to create a setup, something that would allow you to just get into streaming for under $300. And we actually brought people some very good, cost-effective equipment. Everything from something like this, if you go back to the wide shot, this was that newer ring light. You know, I remember when something like this would have cost us $1,000 easy.
Yeah.
And now it's $100.
And it's all packaged into a single kind of unit.
It's crazy like that, yeah. But you combine that with like that Logitech 920 or even a small HDMI camera, and you've got a very competent studio setup. I mean, of course, it's not going to be something like this where we've got thousands upon tens of thousands of dollars of lighting equipment with professionals setting it up. But if you were just looking to stream to Twitch or to YouTube Live, that's a great setup, and it's very cost-effective so that you don't have to spend a lot of money to jump into it. You can just sort of start and then maybe grow it as your needs grow.
Yeah, that's kind of the beauty of where we're at right now with this stuff. Like, cost has come down considerably, both on the video side, you know, on a setup like what you're showing out there. Also on the audio side, microphones and quality, you know, that used to be that you had to spend a lot to get a good quality sounding microphone for broadcasting or podcasting or live casting, whatever you happen to be doing. And a lot of people just weren't aware of what good quality was, so everything sounded horrible. And now you can spend $100 and get a great microphone. You can spend $100 and get a great camera setup with nice lighting that, you know, is better than the fluorescent single bar fluorescent that's above you and casting a shadow so that your nose looks like it's
and everything's,
you know, down
green because I like that green look, that green sick look. You know, it's sexy.
It's the beauty of the fact that this has all been so democratized and opened up, and that's what we're
at. I mean, that's what Twit's built on. What should have been a $10 million studio ended up being a $1 million studio because everything has come down in price. In fact, I just got back from NAB, and I did a little segment with a group that was broadcasting from the South Hall, and I brought my own PR-40. just because I know I love that mic. It works well for me. And the guy's like, dude, we have really nice mics. I'm like, I know. I just like my mic. And so I put it on, and I did my segment, and he comes to me afterwards. He goes, that sounded so good. I'm like, yeah. He goes, how much is that? I'm like, well, PR40, I mean, if you pay full retail, it's $400, but you can get them for $300. He goes, we've got the mics that are on there are like $8,000 a pop. I'm like, well, maybe don't buy those next time.
I want to know what microphones they're using. Does it cost $8,000 a pop? There's got to be a point of diminishing returns.
It's like, okay, you've got 2 hertz more frequency response, but
right.
Is it worth $4,000 each? I don't think so. But okay, let's not talk about crazy setups. We want to give you a setup that you could use to, say, broadcast your gaming. We know that this is a big content producing area right now. Mm-hmm. People like to show off games. They like to show off consoles. They like to show off PC games. We wanted to give you an easy way to set that up using some of the equipment that you already have. You probably already have a desktop if you're a hardcore gamer. You definitely have a laptop. Why not leverage the power of those devices to make your own studio? Now, the last time we did this with Megan, we really didn't have a way to get input in. I mean, you could use XSplit Broadcaster to just capture part of the screen, but here's the problem. First, now you're limited to only what you can play on the same machine that's broadcasting. Not great. That's not a good setup. First of all, because you're using some of the power of your machine to do the broadcasting and the encoding, which means the gaming experience is not going to be nearly as good as you want it to.
Yeah, none of that is necessarily processor light.
Yeah. No.
You know, live streaming to the internet, there's a lot going on there. You want as unencumbered a process as possible on the system that you're using to live stream, because you don't want dropped frames. You don't want lower quality or stuttering or some sort of latency between the audio and the video signal that's hitting the stream. You start throwing that onto a machine where there's high intensity graphics, you know, happening with a video game. It's going to slow everything down. You're going to run into issues.
And it's not just performance. You will find out that when you start loading down a machine like that, you get instability. You get machines that crash. And if your gaming machine is also your broadcast machine, it means you're going to have to shut down the stream every single time you crash out.
Oh, yeah.
That's not good.
No.
You kind of want to reserve that PC just to do its thing so that you can make sure your stream always continues. Even if your console or your PC dies, you at least still have the camera running so you can say, hey, wait 5 minutes while I get this thing booted back up. The other problem, Jason, is if you're going to do it that way, you can only stream a game that you're playing on that PC. You know, what about if you want to show off your Nintendo Switch?
Yeah.
Or, you know, your PS4 or your Xbox? So we wanted to give you a setup that would allow you to take in a external HDMI input so that you could stream that. And you know, with XSplit, we're going to show you how you can layer it so you could get that look where you can switch between, say, your camera and then the full screen of the console, and then maybe put one video here, one video window there, and then stream sort of what we would call an ME. Mm-hmm. Are you up for that?
Yeah, let's do it.
Let's do it. All right, so the first thing we need to do is we need to show off some toys, because in order to do this, we're going to need some hardware that doesn't currently exist on your PC. Unless you've already got some sort of HDMI capture, you're going to need to get a little something. Now, I have spent years, literally years, going from product to product to product, and they all had their upsides and their downsides. For a while there, I was into Hopage, and then their stuff kind of got messed up and nasty. AverMedia also makes some decent ones, but the company that I've been really big on right now has been Elgato. They've got good hardware, and the price is not that high. And let's show you this first. The Cam Link. If you go to the link for this one, Alex, this is about as inexpensive as you're going to get. You're going to find it between $110 and $115. This is bare bones basic. It's a USB 3.0 interface. Captures in 1080p, 60 frames a second. That's 40 megabits per second. Requires Windows 10, Mac OS 10.12, and a fourth gen quad core i5 in order to make this work properly. And this is what it looks like. It's actually super simple. You've got your USB interface on this side, and you've got an HDMI interface on that side. What I like about this is not just that it's low cost, but that it's also super simple.
Yeah.
I mean, anyone can run this. Now, that's where you start. If you need something a little bit above that to solve a problem that this has, then I would go with a different product called the HD60S. Here's the problem that you're going to run into. Yes, this is more expensive. It's $160 versus $110 to $115. But what this gives you that the Cam Link doesn't have, if you go to my overhead, is There is a pass. There we go. There's a pass through. So on this side, I have an HDMI in, also audio in, and on this side, I have HDMI out. So I can still go to a TV, an external monitor, and run my capture. It's captures the exact same frame rate. It's 1080p, 60 frames per second, 40 megabits per second. Again, requires Windows 10, Mac OS 10.12, a fourth gen quad core i5. But that pass-through really does make a difference. I mean, if this is going to be something you're going to leave in line all that time, this is a really good option. Now, you can do this with a Cam Link. We've played with the little HDMI splitters. You can buy those on Amazon really inexpensively, like $20. Basically, HDMI in on one and then two HDMI out. And then one would go to the Cam Link and one would go to the monitor you're watching. But what I like about the HD60 is it's all in one package.
Yeah, the more that you can bring all of this into a single piece of hardware, you're probably going to spend more upfront. I mean, I kind of liken it to back in the day, you know, when I worked at CNN and I was helping build out their podcast kind of network and turn it into a video product, we had been playing around a lot with a software called Wirecast,
which
is, you know, pretty popular, well-known software in kind of software-based video streaming of multiple inputs and everything like that. But that requires a lot of different pieces and components of hardware to all be connected. You've got to really kind of, you know, it's a game almost of like, well, is this a magical combination that's going to keep it from crashing or whatever? Yep. The more you introduce all these components into the mix, yes, it can do it, but how stable is it? Are they going to get along? Is it going to work 100% of the time? Versus, like, you know, in the case of Wirecast, you know, something like a TriCaster, which we use here in the studio. It's purpose-built hardware.
Turn it on and
it's meant to do that thing. So as much as you can bring that into a single piece of hardware and not have to have all of these breakout cables and everything, you know, it's going to work 75% of the time. My experience has been absolutely spend a little bit more, go with the purpose-built hardware.
I'm absolutely with you on that because, I mean, when you think about it, if you're going to get a decent splitter, I mean, you're going to be spending $20 to $30. So you add that to the cost of this, so it's just $110 to $115. And now you're up to, you know, $135, maybe $140 versus $160. So for $20 more, it's all built in.
Yep.
I mean, yes, it's more expensive. But like you said, do you want a bunch of extra breakout cables?
Think about your time that's potentially saved too, right? Like time is money. How much time do you want to spend troubleshooting stuff?
Yeah,
I don't like troubleshooting.
I don't. And the other thing I like about this is it's also it's USB-C.
Ah,
it depends if
so it's powered through USB-C?
It's powered through USB-C. Now, they do give you a cable. I have it here somewhere. They give you a cable so that you can go from USB-A to USB-C. Mm-hmm. So you can still use this on a non-USB-C enabled computer. But I'm at that point where I'm transitioning all my peripherals to USB-C. So the more USB-C stuff I have, the happier I tend to be.
Yep.
Yeah. But they will work exactly the same. In fact, the innards are basically the same between this and the Cam Link. The only difference is this does have that splitter and the pass-through. And the advantage is also it has the audio in. So if you've got one of those old devices that's not actually passing audio through on the HDMI.
Oh, that's a nice bonus,
That's a nice little bonus.
Yeah. That'll protect you.
Now, there is another one that I would suggest, and that is this bad mamma jamma. This is actually the HD60 Pro. As you might have seen, this is not an external device. It's not USB-C, or it's not USB 3. It's a PCIe 1 interface. Captures in 1080p 60 frames per second just like the other, except this does it in 60 megabits per second. So, you know, from 40 for the USB connected devices up to 60, it means you're going to get slightly better look.
Hmm.
I mean, that if that's what you're looking for, this is actually better. I actually prefer this. I have the USB devices because sometimes I need to stream when I'm on the go. But I prefer a card that's in a box just because a desktop's going to provide me more power. I find they're a little bit more stable.
Mm-hmm.
And the other nice thing about this, they have a version of this that does 4K. And they also have a encoder. So this has an H.264 encoder on the board. There's actually a dedicated piece of silicon that does the encoding, which means that gets offloaded from the CPU, which it's nice. Now, the price on this, it's a little bit higher. It's $180. But if you do run a desktop, I would highly suggest this. Again, they make this use Windows 10. However, I've used all three of these products with OBS. So if you want to run the open source broadcaster, these will all work with those just fine.
It looked like the 4K version was around $390.
So. Yeah. But
about, you know, a little more.
I was actually going to check that out because it looks cool, but and there's a crazy amount of power because you need that in order to encode 4K. But
yeah.
Are any of us streaming in 4K?
I don't know.
I am streaming in 4K.
Future-proof yourself for double the cost.
I kind of like what I got. In fact, for that same price, I can buy one of these and then get two of the USB ones. So
that's true.
Let's just go that direction. Now there is one more thing. I really, really like this. I think actually Alex Lindsay was playing around with one of these. This is the Elgato Stream Deck.
This is neat. This is cool. This is my first time seeing it actually powered. Before, it was off, like it wasn't plugged in anything, so all these keys were dark like this. Those are some nice little screens on this.
Yes, they are. And see, look, I can just go back to that. So I can just add custom buttons, and they just come on, which is kind of cool. And I can add my own custom pictures.
Right.
I can add. So if you're going to be a streamer, the nice thing about this is there's nothing that this enables that you couldn't already do with XSplit or with OBS. However, this gives you that sort of at a touch. So I can actually switch between the scenes in my broadcaster by pressing that. And now see how it changes so I know which one is active.
That's great.
That's cool. I mean, now we're getting up to sort of like TriCaster functionality here, where I have dedicated buttons that will do dedicated things. And so I could say, okay, the top are going to be my scenes.
Yep.
All the different things that I've created so that I mix cameras and inputs. I can say that the middle ones are going to be my audio effects, and the lower ones are going to be like the when I have pre-records. And everything can be triggered. See, there's actually no function on that one. Sorry about that. What I like about this, it is so infinitely flexible. So I can actually have folders upon folders of buttons where I can say, okay, now I'm doing Premiere.
Yeah.
Now I'm doing XSplit. Now I'm doing OBS. And I just click that and all of the menus will change.
I've used things that, you know, similar control surfaces that have, you know, that allow you to kind of customize it to your own choosing. And in my experience, sometimes they promise a lot. And when I get it, I'm like, man, I'm going to use this all the time. And then I realize I don't. One of the reasons that doesn't happen is the display issue.
Yep.
Is that it ends up being a bunch of buttons. And I like have to memorize over time what these are. And at some point, my brain is just like, you know what? Whatever. I'll just stick to what I know and I'm over it. Having the ability to kind of change the readout on these buttons and assign them makes this super usable for if you're using this for some sort of like broadcast scenario.
Right. And here's how easy that is. Like, if you could stay on that. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to go ahead and click the configuration for that last button. And I'm going to say, okay, this is my Jason cam.
Oh.
And see, it's that easy to label it. So like as I'm setting up my broadcast, I can go ahead and set all my buttons. I can change the pictures on the button so that I can say, okay.
Put a picture of my face there.
Put a picture of your face. So, right. So like, for example, when Burke does his hunt and peck when he's looking for the right shot, this could be, no, Burke, just look for the picture of Jason.
No, just look for my face.
Push Jason's face and you get Jason's face. Uh-huh. Right?
See? Just push this face.
That's cool.
Now, like this is a little bit pricey. If you go to the link for that one, Alex, it's $150, which sounds like a lot, but you get 15 user-assignable LCD keys. It's a USB 2.0 interface. Again, it works with Game Capture, OBS, XSplit, TP Stream, Twitch, YouTube, Lives Mixer. It's actually, of all the gear, that's probably the one I'm going to use the most because I'm going to be using it even when I'm not streaming.
How is it talking to the software? What is the protocol that's being used? Is it MIDI or no? It's not.
No, it's its own thing. It looks like a keyboard.
So it's
basically just an HID with a little extra layer so that you can do bidirectional data.
Ah, okay.
Right. So this to the computer, this just looks like a keyboard, but it also adds, because there's an app here, it adds the functionality of being able to assign what the keys look like. And like you said, I've got MIDI keyboards.
Yeah. I mean, now thinking about it, MIDI wouldn't be enough because it's doing a lot of other extra data stuff as well.
Yeah. And I don't want to have to like physically label, put a sticker on a button.
This is
easy. In fact, there's profiles, so I can say, "Hey, I'm streaming now," and it switches to all my profile button, my streaming functions.
So you can just like change the entire layout depending on what you're doing too.
Precisely.
Yeah,
precisely.
That's great.
Now, when we come back, we're actually going to take all the stuff we just talked about. We're actually going to show you how to use it. It's kind of fun, Jason.
It is? It is. We do it for a living here.
We do it. We do it for a living. So basically what we're doing is we're showing you how to do what we do, but a whole lot cheaper.
Yep.
Should we be doing that?
I don't know. Share all the knowledge.
All right, we're going to be sharing all the knowledge in just a bit. But first, let's go ahead and take a moment to thank the sponsor of this episode of Know How. Now, folks, I understand that you are people of knowledge. I mean, that's why you're watching this show. And as people of knowledge, you understand that to have a presence in this digital world, it means that you have to have some sort of site, some sort of address, some sort of portfolio that you can draw people to so they can see who you are, what you create. And hey, if you can be a broadcaster, that's not really optional. It's a table stakes, folks. That's why I'm so happy to have WordPress as a sponsor of Know How. Now, if you visited our site at all, then you know that WordPress is the center of our presence. It reflects who we are and what we stand for. Now, I've been using WordPress for, oh my gosh, what? I'm going on 15 years now, back when I was still living in San Jose. And I use it because it gives me the freedom and the flexibility to share my voice, my work, and my way. It's so customizable. It allows me to make my site without having to sweat all the details. I don't have to worry about programming individual templates or individual CSS pages. I just choose what looks good for me, modify it a little bit to give it that little extra Padre flavor, and I'm good to go. In other words, WordPress lets me be more me than I would be without them. Wow, that's just kind of cool when you say it that way. Now, you don't need to do the coding or the design. WordPress provides all the tools that you need to get your site up and running. Their customer support team is there to help 24/7. That's Monday through Friday and weekends too. Now, WordPress offers powerful e-commerce options, ranging from a simple and effective buy button to a complete online store. And what I love about this is you can just get the features that you need. So you can start as just a portfolio. And as you become more popular, as people want your content, as people want the things that you create, you can just add the module to add e-commerce. It's really that simple. Plans start at just $4 a month. And when you're ready to expand your business's online reach, WordPress makes it easy. With built-in SEO, social sharing, because if you don't share it, it doesn't actually exist, and specialized plugins to meet your needs. A 30%, that's not a typo, 30% of all websites in the world run on WordPress. There's a reason for that. It's because it's awesome, because it works. So here's what we want you to do today. We want you to get started with 15% off any new plan purchase. Just go to wordpress.com/knowhow. That's wordpress.com/knowhow to create your website. Again, that's wordpress.com/knowhow for 15% off your brand new website. wordpress.com/knowhow. We thank WordPress for their support of Know How. All right, Jason, you ready to get this all together?
Yeah, I'm ready.
So we've got the toys, but the question is, how do you use?
Do we have the power?
Power! I don't know why we did that. I'm sorry. That was a bit of a rock star diva break.
It was awesome. Okay.
Now, we are starting with, excuse me, we're starting with some of the gear that we had from the last episode. This is that newer ring light that I almost blinded Megan with.
Yeah.
Again, if you go to the link for this,
do that.
$100, 14-inch diameter, 180 LEDs, 36 watts of power. It's dimmable. It's got a 5,500 Kelvin color temp, so a little bit warmer than daylight. Daylight's, what, 5,400? Two diffuser filters, so I can go with the cool or I can go with sort of a warm look. By the way, the warm look looks really good on Caucasian people, not so much on people of color, just throwing that out there. And it's also got a shoe mount and a camera holder. So, for example, I can mount my little Logitech 920 right here, and I don't need this because we've got studio lights, but I can get super bright.
Oh my goodness!
Right, no, that is pretty bright. So.
Yeah, what amazes me is if I were a YouTuber and this was my setup, it would be really hard for me to see after recording because it's so bright.
Well, I mean, Jason, you get blinded by the truth, man. Blinded by the truth.
Ring lights have such a distinctive quality to them.
Here's the funny thing. You know, the first time I remember seeing a ring light in a semi-professional production was a YouTube video for that. There's an acapella group that got really, really popular for a while. It's like four of them. Pentatonix.
Oh, okay.
Pentatonix. And they did this. It was a sort of a Daft Punk medley. Mm-hmm. But they were using ring lights, and you could actually see the ring. And at first, I thought that was weird, but then I watched a couple times. I'm like, That's actually kind of a cool effect.
Yeah, like, it's a cool effect.
Yeah, yeah, I'll go with that.
See it a lot now.
So I'm going with this. You don't have to. I really like the sort of all-in-one flavor of the Ring Light, especially since it's so easy to carry around. Normally, I carry a three-light setup, and, well, that's a pain in the butt.
So, absolutely.
Yeah, go with this. And it's inexpensive. You're also going to need a camera. And again, I'm going to go with this, the low-cost option. If you go ahead and show them the link for this, this is a Logitech C920. What I like about this is, unlike the 900, because you'll see the 900 sold as well, the C920 actually does the H.264 encoding inside the camera. Okay. So it's already encoded before it hits the USB bus. A little less bandwidth, also a little less processing for your computer, which is kind of cool.
I feel like that's less expensive than I'm used to seeing.
I know, right? Well, no, they used, just a year ago, they were still 100.
Yeah.
But they're coming down. And you can buy newer cameras, but the thing is, those newer cameras are typically 4K.
Mm-hmm.
Again, not a lot of us are going to be streaming in 4K.
Yet.
But I mean, there's not...
Yeah.
Are you really setting them that more information with your face in 1080p versus 4K?
You're not setting yourself up for failure by spending $50 and getting the quality that you actually do get out of the 920.
Besides, if you send the 4K stream, I know the comments are going to be like, look at his pores. Oh, my gosh. Dude needs a night mask.
You're gonna have to invest in some HD makeup as well, folks, which is a thing.
This is why Twitch streams at 720. And we're going to look so smart in a couple of years. Excuse me about that. Now, you're also going to need an audio option. And I spend some money on audio. Jason, you're with me on this.
Yeah.
Which is, people will kind of forgive if your video doesn't look perfect.
Yeah.
But if your audio, it sounds crunchy or tinny, I can't even listen to it. I have to shut it off because it actually really bothers me.
Although it really is kind of interesting. It bothers me because I'm very attuned to this stuff. It bothers us because we work in a professional studio. I was actually reading an article just last night about podcasts in general and how, you know, people are commonly, you know, in the industry are talking about the importance and stressing the importance of high quality audio. But as far as listeners are concerned, they're more and more forgiving because really they just want to hear this discussion. They want to hear about this topic that they can't find anywhere else. I don't know how that coincides with the audience that we have, because we really do try to do, you know, go above and beyond to improve the audio quality. I would say in general, though, like something that I learned years ago is you can have the best video in the world, but if you have bad audio coupled to it, people will actually perceive the video as looking worse.
Which is weird,
right? Because of the audio. It's like a kind of a brain trick. So just, you know, spend the extra $50, get a nice microphone, and I think you'll be happy that you did. And the people that are watching you will be happy that you did, too.
Yeah, I've seen this a couple of times where you'll see someone's video setup is awesome. They're you know, guest of your show.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, this is gonna be good. And then they speak, and it sounds like they're speaking over an iPhone microphone. You're like, oh, come on, man. If you're going to spend the money for the video setup, get a decent mic.
Yep.
Now, you could go with what we did in the first part of this series. Get yourself a gaming headset. Most of those have really good audio because they're USB. The one that I really like is the HyperX, either the Alpha or the Cloud or the Cloud Revolver. Those are all super comfortable. They're really good for gaming, and the mic's actually pretty decent. However, if you want to go the route that we go here, Alex, if you go show them, I know it's $400. Mm-hmm. But what I like about this is it's a complete set. So it's the Heil PR40, which is the gold standard, folks. Make no mistake. That is the best sounding mic you will get for podcasting. And it's front firing or top firing, which I really like because a lot of them are side firing. Mm-hmm. And it's also the isolation mount and the stand. So it's basically everything you need. Without having to buy a lot of extras. And then also you need a way to get that into your computer. So if you go to link for this is I've been using this one for forever. There are newer versions, and that's why you're not going to find this for Prime anymore. But get something like this, the Shure X2U. The new version also does lightning, so you can use it on like an iOS device as well. But that just gives you audio from the XLR source, which is your Heil PR40, into USB, which is what you need for XSplit or OBS or whatever it's going to be.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that's our setup. Now let's show you how we're going to use it. So if you go to my computer here, Alex, this is right now you're seeing the Stream Deck. So this is where I've set up the control surface that I'm using. Let me get rid of all the ones I'm not using. And as you can see, what I really like about this is I've got all of these options. I can add any of these buttons. So from StreamLink, they've got the OBS system in here. They've got the TP Stream. They've got Twitch. And, you know, it's not just switching back and forth between cameras. I can also do, like, chat functions. I can go to streaming titles. I can emote my chat. Basically, any function that you can do on YouTube or Twitch or Twitter, I can assign to a single key. That really does make a difference. And again, because I can change my profiles, it means I can switch between streaming on YouTube and streaming on Twitch or streaming to Twitter. This is, again, one of my favorite pieces of Elgato gear. Again, you know, $150. I believe we had Alex C. in the chat room saying a control surface is typically going to cost you $1,000, which is what I saw at NAB. For $150, this is pretty awesome. Mm-hmm. But okay, we're not doing any of that. We're doing XSplit. So right now what I've got is the Cam Link is actually active right now. This is the inexpensive one, the $110 version. So I am going in from a Nintendo. What is this, Alex? A Nintendo?
An SNES Classic.
An SNES Classic. It's one of these little things, so cute.
Oh, it's tiny.
It's tiny, but it is an HDMI output here. So this would work with a PS4. This would work with an Xbox. This would work with a Nintendo Switch. Anything that has HDMI output, that's yeah, I'm going to give you the power.
Okay.
There you go. See?
Oops. All right. What am I playing?
We'll see in just a bit. Now, here's the fun part about this. I get to create what are called scenes, where I can take any of the inputs that I have and I can turn them into what I'm going to be outputting. So, Alex, if you go back to my computer here. Jason, I'll get back to you in just a bit.
Okay.
You really kind of want to get on that, don't you?
Yeah.
So, scene one. So, right now what I've got is I've got that camera. This is the ring light. In fact, let's
hi.
Wait, hold on. Let's blind you. Let's blind you a little bit.
Hi.
Actually, wow. That looks really good. Even against the other lights. Huh. Go figure.
Hmm.
I think we've got that one right.
All right.
Let me turn this back down. Otherwise, we're going to blind the cameras. So I can make this any size I want. But, of course, I've made it full screen. Now, scene two is just the input from the Nintendo. And this is how you add sources. So I'm going to go to source. I'm going to go to devices. I'm going to go to video devices. I'm going to put Cam Link. Now, it's going to start off in the corner here because it thinks I want to make quads, but I'm going to stretch it out to full screen. So now, scene one is that camera. Scene okay. two is the input from the Cam Link. Now, scene three, let's do something different for scene three because one of the shots that you see a lot on Twitch is you see the game and then you see, like, the player overlaid,
yep.
right?
Absolutely.
So let's go and do that. So we're going to go to my sources again. I'm going to go to devices, video. I'm going to take that Cam Link. I'm going to make this one full screen. And then I'm also going to take an input from the webcam. And I'm going to do, let's just, like, put you up in the corner.
Okay.
And just for giggles, I'm going to make a fourth scene. And this is like, let's say I had a bunch of different cameras. Or let's say I've got like a YouTube input so that I can bring people in. I'm going to go ahead and put in, let's see, the game capture of the device from the Cam Link. I'm going to leave that at a quarter screen. And I'm going to go ahead and take another source, which is, actually here. Now we got two of them. I'm going to go ahead and take the webcam, which is the one I wanted, and I'll put you down there. So this is kind of actually how we work with the TriCaster. With the TriCaster, we layer things. We can do things called MEs, which allow us to composite screens. Now, one of the things, actually, if you go back here, Alex, one of the things that we can do is we can also play with depth. So down here at the bottom left-hand corner, I actually have the ability to tell XSplit which screen should be on top. So right now, the Logitech C920 is on top of all of them. I can actually put it below. And so now it's below this one, but above that one.
Oh, okay.
So we can layer.
Yeah.
Now, here's the cool thing. Alex, if you go to the overhead shot. So this is my little Stream Deck. This is what I'm going to be pushing in just a second. Now go back to the output from the laptop. There we go. I can, as I push these buttons, I can just switch screens.
Very nice.
Right? I mean, that's, dude, seriously.
Yeah.
I mean, come on.
That's really nice. And you can go into the software and change the type of transition, obviously, between those,
right.
How long it takes.
So right now I've got it, it's defaulting to a 700 millisecond fade. So fade back and forth, but I could do wipes, I could do, you know, basically anything I want, which is kind of fun. Yeah. What are you choosing? Well, actually, let's go to two.
Here, I'll choose...
I choose you, Pikachu.
I'll choose Star Fox.
Good luck.
Do a barrel roll.
Come on, Star Fox. I almost went with the Star Fox 2 because I've never played that. That's the unreleased game that's included on the SNES, but that's probably not a
Now, I'm going to add this little caveat here. This is a pain in the butt, and it's something that XSplit has done. I understand, okay, they have to get a revenue stream, but they've changed to a subscription model. And I can actually, so I could use the input on the HD 60S, and I can get the audio. Mm-hmm. But if you want digital audio ins from like an HDMI source, you have to pay
A monthly fee.
Yeah, or just license it. And if I want more than four scenes, because I can do a lot of scenes here, I could do 15 scenes on that control surface.
Okay,
that also requires the subscription. So they are kind of starting to nickel and dime. And I'm thinking I'm probably going to take this hardware and I'm going to create OBS because I know a lot of people really like that open source broadcaster.
Yep.
That's probably
It's pretty versatile.
We can do damage.
I'm not sure.
Alex, are you just taking that from YouTube?
No.
Oh, okay. I was like, wait a minute, this sounds too good to be the Super Nintendo version.
Now, one of the nice things about this is once it's in XSplit or OBS, because they're all going to work the same way, I can output it as many times as I want. So right now I have it set up so that it's recording a local copy. So anything that's going through the broadcaster, I can have a separate copy that I can edit later on. I can also push out multiple streams at the same time as long as I've got the upstream bandwidth. So right now I have it set up to push out to YouTube, to Twitch, to Twitter, and to Facebook. And if you want to know how to do that, just check out episode, I think it was 292, because we actually show you how to get the key. I don't want to show you mine, because if you have my key, it means you could broadcast as me. You played this a lot when you were a kid.
I did then. I haven't played it in a long time, and I'm really bad right now, because there's a slight bit of latency between what I'm seeing down there in the corner.
Right, which is the other reason why you wouldn't want to play it this way.
Yeah,
You'd want
that direct output to the monitor.
Right. Absolutely. So you would either use the Cam Link with the HDMI splitter, or you would use this, which has the HDMI pass-through.
Yeah.
Now, Jason.
Yes.
Kind of fascinating, actually. Okay. It's kind of... there we go. That's the shot we want. Now, I should also say that this works with multiple C920 or 900 cameras. So if you wanted to plug in multiple USB cameras so I could get like a product shot.
Yeah. Would you be doing that into this USB hub that you have?
Yeah, the only reason why I have this is because there's only one USB port on my laptop and it doesn't have power to support everything. I can run it off of a USB-C hub off my laptop, but then when I plug in this, it's just drawing too much power and everything starts to flicker out.
Right.
Which is a pain.
Right.
Kind of nasty. Not great.
No.
So this is as expensive or as inexpensive as you want it to get. If you really just wanted a camera and, say, one input for your gaming console, because the software is free and because you already have the computer, you could do this whole thing for under $200. Mm-hmm. You could do it for about $160. Okay. That's not bad. If you wanted to add in a nice ring light and maybe a nice microphone, then you're looking upwards of $600. If you wanted to put something into your desktop so you could get some really, really good performance, which, again, I would recommend because anytime you're doing this, a desktop's going to give you way more power than a laptop's going to be, then you're getting upwards of $800.
Right.
Again, you choose what you need, but what I like about this is you can grow it. Start basic, and all of these pieces you will use even as you get to the more advanced setup.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Sounds good.
That sounds good. Now, Jason, I wanted to give him one last little something. This is what we were talking about Oreo cookies at the beginning, and that is Android, because Megan did apps for iOS. Android actually has a few decent apps just for some basic streaming. I mean, it's not going to give you anything like this.
No.
You're not going to be tying consoles into it, but I thought we should probably show the folks at home what they can do.
I mean, I'd be really surprised if some of this stuff is very different from what Megan said, because, I mean, you know, just Tuesday on All About Android, we did a roundup of music apps. We were like, what's the state of music apps on Android right now? And what you end up realizing is that Android and iOS, really, there's a lot of parity there, right? Both platforms have been developed for years, so the main players exist on both sides. You mentioned Well, I don't know if we touched very much on this, but YouTube Gaming, which I didn't have here until like 15 minutes ago, I realized, wait a minute, YouTube has their own streaming for gaming. If you install the app called YouTube Gaming, I actually have a link in the doc that I just added. I tweeted it out and went live on YouTube Gaming because I've got a game that I can play. But, you know, it allows for very easy front-facing camera, a little dot down at the bottom while I'm streaming out the game that I'm playing. What am I playing here? This is, what is it? Sky Fox?
Remember? Oh, yeah, okay. It's one of these don't get hit and shoot everyone.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun, though. But anyway, so it's really easy to stream this through YouTube live. Right now it's connected to my YouTube account. And so, you know, I basically installed the app and within seconds, I'm streaming with a front-facing camera, you know, little dot down here that I think you can move around.
But this is limited to their gaming titles.
No. This is just going straight up to YouTube's YouTube site through my account.
Oh, I
can stream
that.
any of the games that I have on here. I haven't. Let's see here. Here are some of the controls. I'll go ahead and stop my stream here. There we go, and I think that'll be archived on my site. But yeah, you can stream anything you want. Here's the screencast area for YouTube Gaming, and you just go up here, say I want to go. It gives you the options to either go 720p or 480p if you want to kind of save the processor on your phone, and then you can select any of the games that you have installed, and just boom. I mean, it's like within a couple of taps, you're streaming your gameplay. If that's something that you want to do.
You know, what I like about this is it fills in the hole. Now, we both know this because we work with Twit, but you have to release content on a regular basis. If you do not, your audience will just disappear. It's one of those things. So if you are going to start doing this, I mean, yeah, maybe you have your broadcast set up at home, but there's going to be times when you're not there. Mm-hmm. And when you're not there, it's always nice to at least throw something to your audience. Let them know that you're still there, you're still invested, you're still going to be broadcasting.
Sure.
So, you know, maybe, hey, you went on a vacation. Okay, well, give them 15 minutes of you playing games and doing commentary.
Mm-hmm.
You know, actually, there was a really good panel at NAB for this. It's just a bunch of podcasters. And we all talked about our setups, and we all talked about the hardware that we like. We all talked about the services that we like the most.
Mm-hmm.
But what was actually contentious was how much content do you have to give people?
Oh, yeah.
It's a
treadmill.
There was one person there who's like, yeah, I stream every hour. And I'm like, what? Because, maybe only 2 minutes, 3 minutes, but I stream every hour. And it works for him. He's got a great audience. But I'm thinking, that would kill me. There's no way I could do that. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, that's a hard thing to jump on to because then the audience kind of expects that frequency of output.
And yeah, it's like, and at some point, don't you have to sleep? I mean, are you waking up in the middle of the night to play 2 minutes of gaming? That's just ridiculous.
I mean, we're starting to hear a lot about burnout, too, for a lot of these people who are including content and uploading content and live streaming, you know, every single day. At a certain point, it gets tiring. It may be really fun now, but, you know, pace yourself.
Yeah.
So, obviously, YouTube Gaming, if game streaming is, you know, something that you want to do, that makes it really easy. And, you know, everybody's on YouTube. So, it's a great audience to be able to go to. Twitch, of course, which I actually don't have a Twitch account, so I can't log into it. But I mean that's an obvious standby, and you can stream to Twitch through the app, I believe.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, you should be able to.
Yeah. And this is why I like XSplit, because with XSplit or with OBS, I can hit YouTube and Twitch at the same time. So it's the same stream going on.
Oh, and that's really nice. Yeah. And you don't have to worry about this or that or whatever. Catch your audience wherever they have.
I remember when we were still working with Livestream. And we were doing like this Frankenstein's monster of, okay, we'll take the stream and we'll send it to three different boxes. And each box is responsible for a different buffer. That was a pain. So much nicer now.
Yes, yes. Well, speaking of live stream, that is also another option. The thing about live stream, though, is that if you really want to use live stream to stream anything, you're paying for it. Livestream is not a free stream sort of approach.
They give you better service.
Yeah, exactly. And you're paying for that service. You're paying for the quality, you know, that you get through live stream and the support. But I mean, I think it starts at around like $40 some odd per month, and that's if you pay annually, or $30 some odd, right around there. But
you go ahead and switch to the overhead.
Yeah, if you switch to the overhead, you can see. I mean, it's pretty direct, and if I try and go in there, it's going to tell me that I need a subscription.
You know, it's,
but live stream is a pretty popular platform. You know
we
what
talked
I mean?
About this at the panel, too. It's like, you know, what do you prefer? YouTube and Twitch are free, and you get a certain type of audience. Live stream is not free, but you get arguably a higher quality audience. I mean, that's
yeah.
what I didn't buy I mean, that, but
well,
I
mean,
I
live stream just
it.
Yeah, from a content perspective of what you find on live stream, it's a lot more, you know, a lot more of the kind of the broadcast network content can be there. Some of the major sports teams are streaming their content there. It's a little bit elevated of yeah. a level of quality and content as far as that's concerned. It's not as, you know, I'm a person streaming my video game playing sort of approach. And then, of course, Ustream, which has been
yes.
around for a long time. We stream here at Twit on Ustream. And in fact, usually you can find it not very far down on this front. Yeah, there we are. There's
Yay!
Our thumbnail, in fact. There we are on Twit Live on Ustream. But you can use this to stream as well. You set up an account, and you log in, and it's pretty direct access. I thought I was logged in. But it gives you a pretty, you know, just a couple of hits, and you can go live to your yeah. Ustream account. I used to do that a lot. I don't really do that much anymore.
You know, talking about comparing services, this is actually brought up by Jin Klops in the chat room. What I find with Twitch is you get the drive-by view much more easily than you do on either Ustream, Livestream, or YouTube. So on those other platforms, if people find you, they've probably searched for you.
All right.
On Twitch, whenever I'm broadcasting, I will get people who know nothing about me. They have no idea who I am. They're just like, oh, okay, well this came up. Let me try
yeah.
that. That's so, again, keep that in the back of your mind. If you think you've got sticky content that a drive-by would stay,
right.
that might be a better platform for you.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Hey, exposure is pretty important in all this kind of stuff. There's a lot of people doing this.
Oh, gosh, yes.
Those were kind of the main standouts that I could find on the professional-ish side, on this kind of casting either gameplay or if you want to kind of elevate it and, mm-hmm. you know, reach a more professional or higher kind of, I don't know, a different type of
it's
audience
just, it's
than
a different
just
demographic.
Random person
yeah.
going, hey, I'm live. There's the whole personal live streaming right. that you can find on both platforms. Periscope, Facebook Live, YouNow, which I know very little about, but I installed it yesterday.
Wait, what
I was
that
playing,
one? Wait,
I realized
Meerkat.
I was far too old to be using that app, so I uninstalled it.
Remember Meerkat when that came
Meerkat,
out? And we were
yeah.
like, wait, what is going on? I don't care about you walking down a
yeah.
sidewalk.
Oh, man. Yeah, some of it's weird. Like you now, I installed it and watched a couple of streams, and it's basically just someone sitting there going, "Hey, thank you for the likes. Oh, hey, so and so, you give me 500 likes. Thank you. Oh, and thank you for the like. Literally, it's the stream is them thanking people for the likes. But anyways, that could be your thing. I realize I'm not the target audience for you now. I'm okay with that.
and okay, we don't want to belittle any of these audiences because obviously they have attraction.
Yeah,
but. You kind of have to find one that works for you.
Well, yeah, and I mean, that's just to say that there's a lot of different ways that you can do live streaming on Android, on iOS, or whatever, but what is the exact type of live streaming you really want to do? There are platforms that service different types of live streaming.
Yeah.
And, you know, if it's gaming, you know, Twitch, YouTube gaming, that like those are probably the ones that you want to check out. And thankfully, they've made it really easy to do so.
They did. Now, you also have the dark side.
What?
Facebook.
Well, Facebook Live.
Yeah.
I kind of put that into the personal category, too. But, you know, I don't have Facebook installed on my phone, so I can't show that off.
Yeah, I actually don't have Facebook installed on anything. at this point, Facebook for me has become, it's just a credential keeper. Like,
yeah.
I've got some accounts that use my Facebook account, which is the only reason why I haven't just shut it down completely. But people have been complaining. I messaged you on Facebook 6 months ago. You never got to me. I'm like, yeah, I won't.
Yeah,
no.
You know what I did as far as the whole credential thing? I went in there and opened up the page and was like, wow, all these different places. And I did what I sometimes – I basically did bankruptcy as far as that's concerned. I just highlighted them all and said, you know what?
If I need
them – I'll deal with the consequences.
Exactly. If I need them again, I'll redo it. But otherwise
yeah.
I did that in Twitter. The other day, and I had no idea I had authorized
that
many
that
apps
Twitter
to have
too.
Access to the account.
Yeah, yeah.
Go figure.
Well, that's a really good point. Beatmaster is pointing out that Skype is doing some new features, and I completely forgot about this. This was very recent news.
They're doing it because they realize Hangouts is taking a big chunk of their audience. Because Hangouts, people actually asked, "What if you want to have guests?" Hangouts is actually a really good way to do that, and it works really well with XSplit. You can actually use that as an input.
Sure.
And switch back and forth.
A lot of people are doing their shows live on Hangouts. I don't know if you can do the multi-person Hangout stream from your phone.
No, probably no. I don't think you'd want
maybe
to.
Maybe you could call into, but I think it, I correct me if I'm wrong, but I think you have to be running kind of the initial source from a computer in order to do that. But yeah, and Skype, by the way, obviously we use Skype here for remote guests. So it's very interesting that they're kind of going further into this podcast and live stream direction with multiple hosts because that's how we've been using them for years and years. And not when I say we, I just mean the greater kind of podcast video community has been asking. That's how we use them.
So. Well, folks, I know that this has been a lot of information, and we want to make it easier for you to find it. If you want to find links to any of the products that we've talked about or to XSplit, or just see a step-by-step instruction on how you would actually broadcast to YouTube or Twitch or any of those services that require a key, what you need to do is you need to go to our show notes. Jason, where are our show notes?
twit.tv/KH Kanohow.
If you want to Kanohow, you go to Kanohow. There you can find all of our back episodes as well as the show notes, so you can find the links. More importantly, you can find the subscribe menu. Folks, this is the best way to support the show. If you like Know-How, if you like what we do, if you like following us around, if you like the fact that we screw around for an hour a week, just go there and get an audio version, a video version, or a high-definition video version delivered automatically into your device of choice. And also, it's a great way to share it with your friends if you think they might like what we do, like if they want to get into streaming. Also, don't forget that you can find us on the socials. Now, we actually have a big presence, don't laugh, on Google+, and that is on purpose. We did it because, like we were talking about with the discussion on which streaming provider you use, we wanted a specific type of audience. We didn't like spam accounts, so we moderated. And we also wanted to make sure that people were there because they actually wanted to talk about the show. Yeah. They wanted to talk about the projects. Just go to Google+, look for Know-How. There's a very short approval process. And once you're in, you get access to almost 12,000 KEDAs. Those are our know-it-alls. Show us pictures of your projects. Ask questions. Answer questions. Again, it's all part of the experiment that is Twit. Of course, that's not the only place to find us on the socials. Jason, where do they find you?
At Jason Howell on Twitter. That's really where you go.
Yeah.
I'm there.
Yeah. And you're going to find me, twitter.com/PadreSJ. If you follow me there, you can find out what I'm doing, even when I'm not in the studio, which I'm doing a lot recently because I think I've slept in my bed a total of 12 times the last three months. It's
You're a little busy these days.
Well, the problem is I get sick every time I get on like a 14-hour flight. And guess what? I'm doing one on Sunday. So
yay. Lucky you. Oh. And then lucky us.
I know, because I come back and I share it because, you know, that's what you do. Actually, I've been good about that. When I'm sick, I don't come in.
You have been good about
Unlike some other people, Hase.
Yeah.
Just kidding.
I didn't know that. Now I'm scared.
Hold on. Let me just wipe some stuff on your mouth. We've also got a third member of our crew. We call him Sunshine. You can find Sunshine at twitter.com/ANELF.
Excuse me, Padre. It's pronounced Alex.
Oh, but it's so much better as Sunshine.
But I'm in the darkness.
They sound almost the same to me, Sunshine and Alex.
Maybe I need that ring light.
Ooh, actually. Ta-da! Oh, folks, thank you very much for watching. I'm Father Robert Ballas there.
And I'm Jason Howell.
And now that you know how,
go broadcast yourself doing it.